not just when you're with men. I've got a Brian moment, but it'll come later in my message, okay? So hang on. I know you're excited. Hang on, all right? It'll keep you awake for our last session. I do, yeah. KirbyandBrian.com. Okay. It's a list of them. But I do want to read this to you. How many of you have ever attended, been a part of a Baptist church? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. You're going to like this story, okay? You remember this, the BC? Okay. You didn't read it last Sunday, did you? Okay, good. The story is told of a lady who is rather old-fashioned, always quite delicate and elegant, especially in her language. She and her husband were planning a week's vacation in Florida, so she wrote to a particular campground asking for a reservation. She wanted to make sure the campground was fully equipped, but didn't quite know how to ask about the toilet facilities. She just couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in her letter. After much deliberation, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term bathroom commode. But when she wrote that down, she still thought she was being too forward. So she started all over again, rewrote the entire letter, referring to the bathroom commode merely as the BC. Does the campground have its own BC, is what she actually wrote. Well, the campground owner wasn't old-fashioned at all, and when he got the letter, he just couldn't figure out what the woman was talking about. That BC business really stumped him. After worrying about it for a while, he showed the letter to several campers, but they couldn't imagine what the lady meant either. So the campground owner, finally coming to the conclusion that the lady must be asking about the local Baptist church, sat down and wrote the following reply. Dear Madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but I now take pleasure in informing you that a BC is located 9 miles north of the campground and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I admit it is quite a distance away if you're in the habit of going regularly. But no doubt you'll be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make a day of it. They usually arrive early and stay late. It is such a beautiful facility, and the acoustics are marvelous, that even the normal delivery sounds can be heard. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago. And it was so crowded we had to stand up the whole time we were there. It may interest you to know that right now a supper is planned to raise money to buy more seats. They are going to hold it in the basement of the BC. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly. But surely it is no lack of desire on my part. As we grow old, it seems to be more of an effort, particularly in cold weather. If you decide to come down to the campground, perhaps I could go with you the first time you go. Sit with you and introduce you to all the other folks. Remember, this is a friendly community. So I thought that was appropriate being at a Baptist campground this weekend. So that fit very well. Turn to Psalm 119. We're going to cover these 176 verses real quickly. A brief exegesis. No, I'm joking. Just want to look at 8 verses today. And this is kind of a way to send us home. I spent a week at FCA camp in the summer of 2003, and I served as the pastor of the week, of the chaplain. It was a boys' basketball, girls' basketball, girls' tennis camp, and absolutely love the opportunity. I've worked many FCA camps. I've gone as a camper, as a huddle leader, as a mean dean, as a huddle leader coordinator, but being the chaplain is the best because you get to teach the Word of God to the kids. And every summer since 1999, and Brian was instrumental in getting me to a camp when I was in California, but I've been able to do that either at FCA or a church camp for youth, and what a privilege to teach the Word of God. When you go to an FCA camp, though, sometimes, although it's very rewarding, it's also somewhat heartbreaking. Because you connect with these kids, you get involved with their lives, you really grow to love them, you kind of become their pastor for the week. You watch them develop this hunger for Christ and His Word. You know, the last night of camp, we would have an open mic time, and you'd hear from these kids, and some had trusted Christ that week, and so excited for them, you know. But many times, your heart is broken because you know that they're going back. Some of them are returning to bad homes where there's no support. Many of them don't have a church home. Many go to churches that don't teach the Bible. And so I wanted to take them all with me back to Brownsburg, Indiana. But they were from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Chillicothe, Missouri, and Cobden, Illinois. But one thing I knew I could do for them, as I had one last opportunity to preach the Word of God, was to get into their hearts the importance of God's Word. And my role as chaplain, I felt like, was to get the Word of God into the hearts of those kids so that they can live a pure and holy life and so they can be conformed to the image of Christ. And that is my goal as pastor of the Bible Church of Brownsburg, to get the Word of God into the hearts of God's people. As Scott Ardvanus said that day, that's the best thing you can do for your people. And so I know that that is Brian's heart too, that he gets the Word of God into your heart so that you live a holy and pure life and so that you can grow as a church, not just numerically, but also corporately, as individuals. We cannot always be together as a body like this. This is a special thing. And so we need God's Word to sustain us, and we need His Word to sanctify us. So as I got this one last opportunity with you, I want to just do something very practical and do what I did with those kids and give you a message about the Word of God, from the Word of God, Psalm 119. Let's look at verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. The author of Psalm 119, this beautiful psalm, this long psalm, is unknown. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is a psalm about the Word of God, much like Psalm 1 and Psalm 19. It is an acrostic psalm. If you ever want to learn Hebrew, at least the alphabet, this is a great way to do it. Some of your Bibles, like mine, will actually have the Hebrew alphabet, the name of the letter, and then the letter symbol there. It's a great way to learn that. 22 sections, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each, the first word of each stanza, or those eight verses, starts with that letter of the alphabet. So go home and impress your wife and your kids that you know a little Hebrew, okay? But this is a psalm all about God's Word, and we see eight different terms throughout the psalm that refer to God's Word. It is referred to as God's law, His testimonies, His precepts, His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, His word, and His ordinances. We all need to know God's word. Amen? All of us. 35 and older or younger, we all need to know God's word. And the best thing I felt like I could do for you this weekend, and I think this is why Brian asked me to come, was to teach the word. I think that's why, that was our agreement. I don't tell stories very well. I don't juggle. My jokes are bad. I don't do drama or interpretive dance, okay? But I'm going to teach the Word of God, and that's what God has called me to do. Well, life can really be tough. There's all kinds of temptations, all kinds of pressures, all kinds of things that are seeking your time and your attention. The world would love to pull you in to embrace its system. The devil would love to destroy your testimony, your character, your witness for Christ. Your flesh would love you to get all of your focus and attention on yourself and not on God. So how then can you live a pure and holy life? How can you live a life that would be pleasing to God, a life that would give glory and honor to Him? Let me give you a secret. It is impossible apart from the Word of God. Impossible. So many Christians try to do it without the Word of God, and they fail. You can imitate and mimic other Christians for so long. You know, you can say, okay, there's a guy I want to live my life like. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to watch what he does and just try to mimic him. But when hard times come, you will crash and burn. And that is why Paul said in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. God. Keep your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. I believe all of you that are here want to live a godly life. I have talked to many of you. I see it in you. You are here. You have given up this weekend to be here, to be with other men, to study the Word of God, to pray together. So I want to give you 8 ways tonight to help you live a pure and godly life, all based on the Word of God, just looking at these 8 verses. And I want to do this in the form of a vow, that you would say this to the Lord in a vow, saying it and committing to Him, okay? Number one, say to the Lord, I will plant myself in the Word of God. That's where we begin. I will plant myself in the Word of God. Verse 9, the psalmist says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Pretty clear, isn't it? You want to live a pure and holy life? You want to be godly? How do you do it? Very simple. By keeping it according to his word. There is no other way. You cannot live a pure and holy life apart from the knowledge of God's word. There is no other way of knowing what is right and what is wrong. The word of God reveals the will of God. And you have to plant yourself in the Word of God if you want to grow, if you want to live a holy life. When I was growing up, my mom loved flowers, and my dad knew this. And so every year, springtime, my dad is going to a store called Big R, okay, and buying her flowers. She loved roses, and she wanted some in our yard, and every year, my dad would bring these flowers home, and my mom would be very happy. But you know what? He couldn't just leave them on the counter or leave them in the car. He had to go and dig, right? He had to plant them in the ground. They would not grow if he didn't plant them. And in the same way, you will not grow apart from God's Word. You need to plant yourself, to put yourself in God's Word, and to do so on a daily basis. Just do it. And understand and agree here that this is God's Word, and God does not lie. He cannot lie. And understand that growth and holiness will not come apart from spending time daily in His Word. Some of you may be here, and perhaps you're not planted. This morning when you had your quiet time, maybe that's the first time you've had a quiet time in a long time. Maybe you don't know the last time you sat down and just simply read the Word of God. And I say this because there were times in my life when this happened, in high school and even in college. So embarrassing in high school. I'd come home from church on Sunday. I put my Bible on the bookcase where we stacked our Bibles. And then on Sunday, it was time to go to church again. I couldn't find my Bible. Where'd I put it? I'm looking in my bedroom, looking in the living room. There it was on the bookcase. It hadn't moved. Very convicting. So plant yourself in the Word of God. And as you leave this weekend and as you travel with guys in the car, just say, hey, help me. I want to be in the Word of God. And so talk to me and ask me, are you spending time in God's Word? Secondly, not only do you plant yourself there, but say to the Lord, I will keep myself in the Word of God. I will keep myself in the Word of God. Verse 10, the psalmist says, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. I love singing that song, Come Thou Fount, right? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's daily, isn't it? My heart always wants to wander. Is this something I said, Clint?
<He's wandering>.
Yeah. I had a Greek professor in seminary, Dr. Farnell. And a 2-hour class, Greek exegesis. He didn't give us a break. So if you had to go to the bathroom, you just got up. And every time, for the whole 2 semesters, if somebody got up and went to the bathroom, was it something I said? And we laughed every time, you know. So I do that sometimes with people like Clint. So. So we need to keep ourselves in the Word of God. It's so easy to wander, to get away from reading God's Word. And that leads us to an impure and unholy life. I love what the psalmist says here. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Not options. Not suggestions for a better life. These are God's commands. what God desires and requires of us. And you cannot do it apart from His Word. Many have tried. I have tried. Perhaps you have tried and failed. We wander. That's exactly what we do when we get away from His Word. I've heard people say that if you were in a desert and you had no frame of reference, you were just walking, trying to get to from one point to another, you would probably make a complete circle because you have no point of reference. And really, that's what it's like to get away from the Word of God. We just wander. We walk around. Probably none of us have a photographic memory, and so we need to stay in God's Word through death. So we plant ourselves there. We keep ourselves there. Stay in the Word of God. I have people in our church that will say to me, Kirby, I just don't feel like reading the Word of God. I'm just going through a dry time. I don't want to read. And I tell them, that's the time when you need to read. When you don't feel like it, okay? Because that's when God can really meet you where you are and really work in your heart. Thirdly, say to the Lord, I will memorize the Word of God. I will memorize the Word of God. Verse 11, we've known this verse forever. Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. God desires that we learn His Word, that we hide it in our hearts. Deuteronomy 6:6 and then verses 8 and 9 says this, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Learn the Word of God. Learn it. Memorize it. So that when you don't have your Bible with you, you will remember. Why? Why should I learn it? Your Word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It's a pretty good reason to know the Word of God. I would never push any kind of a memorization program on you. Maybe you went through Awana as a kid, or maybe you've gone through Navigators. Whatever works for you. Perhaps you write it on a card and carry it around with you. That works for people. Sally likes to put cards on the mirror or in the kitchen where she's seeing it throughout the day. I had a friend in seminary that would put it on a steering wheel. Okay, make sure you look up every once in a while, but that's what he did to learn Scripture. But read it over and over. And I really encourage you, as you memorize Scripture, to be concerned with the spirit and not the letter. Don't be so concerned like, oh, I forgot the word of. Ah, I'm terrible, okay? But 2 Corinthians 5:17, here's the spirit of that verse. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come, okay? That's the spirit of the verse. That's what Paul is trying to say. Psalm 19 is a psalm of David about the Word of God. In verse 11 there, he says, moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Chuck, you like that psalm, don't you? Psalm 19. Okay? So we plant ourselves there. We keep ourselves there. We memorize the Word of God. Fourthly, say to the Lord, I will learn the Word of God. I want to learn it. Verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Don't you love that attitude? Teach me, Lord. I want to learn. The psalmist knows God, but he wants to continue learning His Word. He is teachable. He is satisfied in God alone, but he's not content to stay where he is. You understand that? He is satisfied in God alone, but he wants to continue to grow. I want to tell you something. Whether you're 35 or 71, you can never exhaust God's Word. There will never be a time where you go, I got it. I'm done. I'm checking out. Okay? We can always be learning, no matter what our age, no matter how long we've known Christ. So be a learner. Buy a Bible commentary to gain greater understanding. Maybe get a concordance. Do a word study. I'd really encourage you to get the ESV Study Bible, right? That is an incredible resource, and you can get it for about $25, $30. Just came out, and it is phenomenal. Great articles on theology help you learn the Word of God. Don't get complacent. Pastor Joe Hemmerkaus was my pastor growing up, and he pastored for about 30 years. And whenever I got the opportunity to preach, he really blessed me. He would sit in the front row, and he would take notes on me. And I gave some really bad sermons. I mean, some that have been destroyed, okay? But here's a guy who's known the Lord for years, sitting down and saying, I can learn, even from Kirby Myers. Okay? That's a learner. Have a teachable spirit. Never have the attitude that says, I already know this. I've heard this before. Okay? Be a learner. Number five, say to the Lord, I will testify of the Word of God. I will testify of the Word of God. Verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Let the Word of God always be on your lips. Tell others what you are learning. Go around and talk to others about what you have read. In 2004, shortly after I'd moved back to Indiana, God was just doing some great things with the Indianapolis Colts through Coach Dungy and some of his assistants. And in 2005, there were 25 guys on the Colts that were reading through the Bible during the year. And Coach Dungy told me, we were together going to Springfield one time, and he said it was so neat because we'd come out to practice, and these guys were talking about what they had read in the Word that morning. They'd say, hey, were you in 1 Kings this morning? Wasn't that great? And that is what God would want us to do, to testify, to talk about what we're learning. May it always be on our lips. My wife is so good at this. She is always excited about God's Word and always willing to share what she has gotten from her time in the Word of God. Acts chapter 4, we read that Peter and John there were commanded not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So they went home and never spoke about him again. No, wait, sorry. Sorry about that, I'm a misprint. Acts 4:19 through 20 says, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. So speak the word of God. And again, when it is in your heart, it's going to be on your lips. Okay? Number six, say to the Lord, I will rejoice in the word of God. I will rejoice in the word of God. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Psalm 19, verse 10 says, David says, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. This came from King David. The word of God was his greatest possession, and he was a king. And ask yourself, is God's word my greatest possession? If your house was on fire, and you came home, if you got home this afternoon, and your house was on fire, and the fireman said, you know what, you've got time to go in and get one thing, what would you get? Somebody said, not my Bible, because I got it with me right now. Okay, but play along with me, okay? Would it be your Bible? Is that your greatest possession? Here's my Brian moment, okay? What year were we in San Diego? Do you remember? FCA, Tom Landry? 2000? I want to say 99 or 2000, okay? Brian and some of the FCA staff from Illinois were coming out for a Tom Landry Associates weekend. It was kind of a time for those who gave money to FCA. And we were down in San Diego, and my brother worked for the Marriott, not this Marriott that I've been staying in. So they're in this really nice hotel. I checked it out. It was $250 a night, but through my brother, we got a room for $49 a night, okay? So I check in, and the guys, it's two towers, right downtown San Diego, if you've ever been there before. And the guys, I was checking in at the front desk, he said, do you want a high floor or a low floor? I said, high floor? I want a view of the bay. And Sally goes, Kirby, what if we have an earthquake? I go, come on, we're in California. It's not going to be an earthquake. So we go to bed about midnight, and 3 a.m., Sally wakes me up. She goes, Kirby, we're having an earthquake, you know? And so I was so disoriented because we had just gone to bed 3 hours earlier. And I'm thinking we're still in our little apartment in Montrose, California, Los Angeles area. So I wake up and I'm picturing we've got a lingerie dresser over here. And then over here we had a high boy, low boy dresser. And so I'm thinking, nothing's going to fall on us. It's okay. Let's just wait it out. And Sally's like, no, we've got to get out of here, Kirby. I mean, she had read everything about what to do in an earthquake. I didn't care, okay? And so she's like, come on, we got to get out of here. And I'm like, okay. And so again, I'm still thinking we're in our little apartment. And we get over to the door, and I say, wait, I need my shoes. If we're going out, I need my shoes. And so I'm grabbing them. And I see Sally tugging on the door, and I'm thinking, why can't she get our bedroom door open? And why was our bedroom room door closed anyway? But then I realized as she opens it, okay, we're not in Montrose anymore. We're in this hotel. And so we're going through an earthquake. This hotel was built on rollers. So this earthquake lasted for 45 seconds. That was the earthquake. But the building shook for about 5 minutes. It was terrifying. Now, Brian, on the other hand, tells me that while the earthquake is going, he is standing on his bed going like this. All right? Right? Not me. I'm getting out of there. And so remember, this is 3 o'clock in the morning. And some people were panicking. We watched people checking out of the hotel. I don't know where they thought they could go for safety, but they're like, I'm out of here. And so we're standing outside, and the first report, one of the guys from the hotel comes outside, and he goes, it was a 7.0 in Los Angeles, okay? And I'm starting to think, we probably lost everything. If that was in our area in L.A., you know, I'm thinking we lived in a very old apartment complex, and we had just bought this high-boy, low-boy dresser from furniture.com, and I'm thinking we probably lost that. We probably lost our whole apartment. And I grieved, okay, because we had very little when we were in seminary. And I didn't immediately tear my robe and shave my head and worship God, okay, not immediate. But after standing out there for a while and just thinking about that, thinking we could have lost a lot of stuff, I started thinking through it and processing. And I thought, I've got my Toyota Corolla and I've got my MacArthur Study Bible. Let's go. You know? And that was a neat moment. And then later we found out the earthquake was in Joshua Tree National Forest. Very little damage. We went home. Nothing had moved. But that was a neat moment to think that really all we needed was the Word of God in each other. So rejoice in the Word of God and rejoice in the fact that you can know it. You can learn it. Number 7, say to the Lord, I will meditate on the Word of God. I will meditate on the Word of God. Verse 15, he says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. The Word of God, this is God's love letter to man. He has given us His Word because He loves us. And I remember when I was dating Sally and when I was praying that she would feel for me the way I felt for her. I mean, I loved her and I wanted her to be my wife. And so I would write her letters. And this was before Al Gore invented the internet, and so we wrote letters to each other. And and so I would write her, and I would tell her how I felt about her, and then she'd write me back, and I would read these letters. I'd try to break it down, and I'd say, what is she saying? What is she saying? You know, but I'd really regard it and contemplate, look into these letters. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God. Say, what is God saying? How does He want me to respond? God's Word can be understood. He has given us His Holy Spirit. He's not left us alone. 1 John 2:27, you have no need for anyone to teach you. We have something called illumination, and that is when we read the Word of God, because we have the Holy Spirit, God illumines the Word of God. He enables us to understand. And so when we meditate on it, don't just read the Word of God and walk away, but read it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Come back to it later. Okay? If it's difficult, say, you know what? I'm going to put this away for a little bit. I'm going to think about what I read, and then I'm going to come back and keep thinking through it. Number 8, finally, say to the Lord, I will delight in the Word of God. I will delight in the Word of God. Verse 16, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your Word. I'm 38 years old, and so for you young guys especially, okay, after living in the world and experiencing that, there is nothing better than knowing Christ. Amen? There really isn't. There's nothing better than obeying Christ, delighting in the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 11, again, David says, in keeping them, there is great reward. I grew up in an independent Baptist church. Let me tell you about it. It was independent, Baptist, fundamental, King James only, separatist, soul-winning bus ministry church. And that's just what the sign said, okay? I'm not kidding. I mean, you drove by that church, you didn't go, I wonder what they believe. But I'm thankful for that experience because that's where I trusted Christ. I heard the gospel there and was saved. But there was a mentality there in that church that kind of went like this. Are you going to be happy or are you going to be holy? like they were exclusive. But I believe that you will be happy when you live a holy life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Sin will make you miserable. Verse 16 says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. The psalmist does not wander from them. He knows how valuable they are to him. Psalm 119, verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. It's good. So do you want to live a holy life? Do you want to live a godly life? A life that is pleasing to the Lord? These verses tell you exactly how to do it. And this is what I want to do as we close. I love sports, and so let me give you an illustration, a baseball illustration, to really put these into practice, okay? Number one, plant yourself in the Word of God. In other words, get in the game. Get in the game. I don't know about you, but I never liked being on the sidelines. I wanted to play. And when I was a freshman playing basketball, that's what I did. I rode the bench. So my sophomore year, I became a fan. I wasn't going to do that again. Get in the game. Get in the Word of God. Plant yourself in God's Word. God wants no spectators. He wants active workers for the kingdom. Secondly, keep yourself in the Word of God. Stay in the game, all right? We're playing a little ultimate frisbee today. Some guys were dropping off like flies. Now, stay in there. No, it's okay. I wanted to quit too, okay? You know that scene in Rudy? The movie Rudy? I hope you've all seen that. Okay, if you're saved, you've seen Rudy. But when he goes in for that first play, right? Before he makes the tackle, before he sacks the quarterback, he doesn't know what to do. And he looks over at the coach, and the coach is like, stay in there. Stay in there. I like that. Stay in the game. Stay in the Word of God. Don't get out of it. Thirdly, memorize the Word of God. In other words, know the rules. Know God's game plan, His rules, what He commands us to do. Donovan McNabb did not know that an NFL game could end in a tie. Okay? Know the rules. Know what God's Word says. And to know it, you need to be in it. Fourthly, learn the Word of God. In other words, study the game plan, right? Study the game plan. Fifthly, testify of God's Word. Here I like to say, let's hear some chatter. Right? Used to coach little kids, little league baseball. Talk it up out there. Let's hear some chatter. And that's what we should be doing with the Word of God. Let it be on our lips, testifying of God's Word and how it's changed our lives. Sixth, rejoice in God's Word. Be glad you're in the game. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Jesus spoke more about hell than He did heaven. Be thankful that you are in the game, that God has saved you from your sins. Seventh, meditate on God's Word. This one I like to say, break down tape. Okay? Kurt Schilling, I told you there's a Boston Red Sox thing, Clint. Kurt Schilling, at one time, was one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. And I'm sure other pitchers do this, but Kurt Schilling got so good because of the amount of time he spent watching other batters. Kurt Schilling would, before they would play any series against any team, he would get videotape of every batter that he might face for the opposing team and watch hours and hours of video. And so when he would, let's say when Albert Pujols came up to the plate, he knows exactly where to pitch to Albert Pujols because he knew him. And so meditate on the Word of God. Read it. Think about it all day long. And then finally, delight in God's Word. Love the game. Love the Christian life. There's nothing greater than knowing Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that this is so practical. How is a young man or an older man to keep his life pure? By keeping it according to Your Word. Father, we thank You that You don't leave us to ourselves. You don't just save us from our sins and throw us to the wolves and tell us to figure it out. But Lord, You give us Your Spirit to convict us of sin. You give us Your Word that instructs us on how to live and how to be righteous. You cause us to be skilled for living. You make simple people wise. Lord, You reveal Your will to us, what You desire from us. what is sinful and what is pleasing to you. So Lord, I pray as we leave this place and this great time of fellowship and teaching and just friendship with one another, that we would go back with a renewed commitment to be in your word daily. And I pray we would love each other enough that these guys who have spent these moments together, that are in this church together, in this family, in this community, that they would love each other enough to hold each other accountable and to ask one another, how are you doing in your time in the Word? Lord, we thank you. And I pray that we would understand that if we want to be happy, that we will be holy. That, Lord, there is nothing greater than serving and knowing and obeying you. Lord, I just thank you for this time. It has been so refreshing to my soul. Thank you for this beautiful place. Thank you for these men that love God and the encouragement they have been to me. And we look forward to the Lord's Day tomorrow when we can sing praises to your name corporately, when we can be with like-minded believers, those you've purchased with your body and your blood, and again hear from the very words of Christ. And so we thank you for this time, Lord, and pray for safety on our way home. In Jesus' name, amen.